All right, welcome back. Shall I pass with a prayer before we start tonight's session off? Let me open us with prayer. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you to gathering us tonight, Lord, to read through your word. Lord, that may you grant us understanding, Lord, as we continue to read through John chapter 6. Father, may you grant us the Holy Spirit to illuminate in us your word, that we may understand it, that we may read and learn from it, that you may teach us how we should live, and we should apply all that we have learned into our own lives. Teach us, O Lord, to look upon you for our salvation once again, Lord. Thank you for giving us this opportunity and this chance to read through your word once again. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we shall continue where we left off on Tuesday. We shall continue reading, first of all, John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71, and we shall do verses 63 to 60, sorry, 62 to 63 today. So let's read together John chapter 6, verses 60 to 71. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that the disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were not, who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father.' After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have heard the words of eternal life, that we have believed, and how have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' And Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.' He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." So shall we read through verses 62 and 63 again, and we shall zoom in to look at these two verses today. In John chapter 6, verse 62 to 63. Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." So as we start off with verse 62 itself, we see that Jesus talked about what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before. Now, this is a very interesting statement that he has made here. I mean, why would he make this kind of statement right now? But if we were to see in the context of it, Jesus was asking them, did they take offense at what he has spoken before, previously, about him being the bread of life, him being the bread and man must partake in eating of his body and drinking of his flesh. So if people were to take offense at such a simple doctrine, then would they take offense also at this greater doctrine? Now, what is this greater doctrine that we are looking at here today? Now, first of all, this is something that has not happened yet. You know, at least at the point of Jesus talking to the disciples, this itself has not happened yet. But we as readers today, when we look at this verse, we know what it's talking about. It's talking about Jesus' death, but not so much of his death, but ultimately his resurrection. Once again, we see what Jesus described himself as here again. He calls himself the Son of Man, to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before. Now, the connotation and notion is this, that he is of the human nature. You see, he has the human nature in him. At this point of time, speaking with the group of people right now, Jesus was speaking to them as a man. He's in the form of a man. They were able to see him. They were able to touch him. They were able to feel him. He will feel as though he is one of us. Just plainly a man. That's how we can see man is today. And so that's why he called himself the Son of Man. He refers to his human nature. His humiliation. As his human nature itself. That ultimately he will resurrect. That this body that he has will resurrect. What if we were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Now the next part is also important, that he will be ascending. First of all, we must recognize that Jesus came down from somewhere. He descended upon this world in his incarnation. In John chapter 1, this was made very clear that God the Son descended from heaven. And right now he will ascend to where he was before. Now this itself should hint us at something, especially when he talks about it in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4. Chapter 4 verse 9. It says here, actually we will start off with verse 8. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In verse 9 it says here, in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower region, the earth? He who descends is the one who also ascends far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So right now, once again, we see Jesus saying this. If you were to take offense at what I have spoken before about drinking my blood, eating of my flesh, how much more offense will you be taking then if I were to tell you who I am? Which is boldly proclaimed here that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself, in fact. He proclaims his deity. No one in this world, at that part of time, even now, no one dares to claim that they have descended from heaven. Even if they do, most of the time they're lying. In fact, all of the time they're lying. No one descends from the heavens to the earth. Only Christ dares to make this statement. He ascends back to where he was before. It shows that he was before this world. He wasn't born into this world like we are. No, he wouldn't be ascending back to where he was before. He was already there. He was there in the creation itself. He was never created. He was there in creation itself. So this is what he was saying. That you will take offense at me proclaiming to be the Son of God, to be God himself. And what else is also intriguing is that ultimately Jesus is pointing to a proof that he is who he speaks of. Now, one of the greatest comfort that we as Christians have in our faith is that God the Son resurrected. That Jesus didn't just die and fade away into the soil, but his body could not be found. He has ascended into the highest of heavens. That is proclaimed greatly about who he is. That doctrine of resurrection and that doctrine of ascension is where we have our comfort, where we know what he said is true. So if they themselves took issue with a small and minor doctrine such as the one previously, how much more then would they take offense at the greater doctrine of his resurrection? And this is how much they hate Christ. In a very similar manner, this is how much we ourselves hate Christ. How often do we believe what he says calls himself to be? How often do we believe what he says about himself? How often do we take offense of this understanding of who Christ is? Now, the next part we see in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But this is important for us. First of all, we know about the nature of spirit. You know, it's the spirit of man that quickens him. It's the spirit of man that animates him. It's the spirit of man that gives life to him, which being breathed into him becomes a living soul. When God breathed spirit into us, we are given a spirit. This is the first thing that we need to recognize. Men are unique in the sense that we have a spirit. Unlike animals, this is something that Christians differ greatly from the other religions, or most other religions. Christians don't believe that an animal has a spirit or a soul. Are they animated? Yes. Do they have a soul? No, they don't have that spirit that gives them life as we see life is in itself. For a body without the spirit is dead, it is a lifeless lump. Like how we were clay or soil. Without the spirit, we were nothing. And so that's what it means here in that way. And so in a very similar manner, it is the spirit of God that grants life to a dead sinner. That is important for us to recognize here, isn't it? It is the spirit who gives life. That spirit is a reference to the Holy Spirit, of course. It is the spirit of God that grants life to a dead sinner. By entering into them as the spirit of life and causing them to live, it is the spiritual eating or eating of the flesh and drinking of the blood of Christ in the spiritual sense, which gives life, which refreshes, which comforts the minds of believers, is that by and on which they live, and by which their spiritual strength is renewed. And as by spirit is meant the divine nature of Christ, by which he was quickened and raised from the dead and ascended up into heaven and was declared to be the Son of God with power. Recognize the word, the work of the Spirit that grants us life. As dead sinners, we were incapable of coming to God, but by the quickening of the Spirit, it gives us life. The Spirit gives us life. That's important. The flesh is of no help. The flesh is of no help. The human nature of Christ, though profitable as in union with the Son of God, but gives, but be given for the life of his people and to be an offering and a sacrifice for their sins. Yes, that's what Christ's body, coming in the body, means, his sacrifice for the sins of us, yet not as alone or as a so-called abstract understanding from the divine nature of who he was. You recognize that Jesus himself was never a mere man. God himself did not use a mere man as a sacrifice, but there's a spiritual aspect of who he was. There was a divine nature of who he was. Nor were his flesh and his blood corporally eaten, could or should it be done, be an avail to eternal life, nor is any other flesh. Literally understood, it is not profitable of itself for life. It doesn't give life. The body itself doesn't give life to us. It is the spirit that grants us life. That's the first thing that we need to recognize. We are not physically dead, at least for now. But the spiritual deadness can be seen in us. We need a spiritual renewal, not a physical renewal at this point of time. Yes, of course, we will receive a physical resurrection. We will receive a physical renewal. But what is most important right now at this point of time is the spiritual renewal, renewal of the person. The Spirit is the one that gives life. And not just the Spirit, the words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. That is very interesting right here when we see this. The doctrine which Christ has been talking about, the doctrine that which Christ has been delivering, is concerning of himself, his flesh, his blood, and being spiritually understood, are the means of giving life to the soul. The gospel and the truth of it, which are the wholesome words, the whole understanding of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, are the means of conveying the Spirit of God into a person, the Spirit of illumination and sanctification for that man. It is through the means of the gospel that the Spirit is able to give life to the people. The gospel itself is like a vehicle. The Spirit sits inside the vehicle. The gospel brings the Spirit to the person, to renew that person. This is the means which God has ordained. And this is the means and reason why Jesus calls us to preach the gospel. It's not as though God needs our help, but this is the way that God has ordained his people to be saved. It is through the preaching of the gospel that we are saved. And so it is the case here. Not everyone who listens to the gospel will understand the gospel either, because not everyone who hears the gospel is saved. Only certain people drawn by the Father are saved, as we see later on in verse 65. But that is the most important thing right now. For man to be saved, what is necessary is for the Spirit to come about. But how does the Spirit come upon someone? It is by the preaching of the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. The gospel is the Spirit that gave us life and is the Savior of us unto life. When it comes not in word only or in bare ministry of it, but with the energy of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the one that has the power of divine grace to save a man out there. Dare we not preach the gospel? Dare we not use the means ordained by God to save men, but to lie and deceive men? How can we not? How can we withhold this good news of great joy from men? How can we hold these things from them? How can we hold life and spirit from them? Something for us to really think about more is really here, is this. Where is the spirit? How do we ourselves receive the spirit also of life? How do we receive it? Something for us to contemplate more about also. Now with that, I will end the session off for today. Today is a rather short one because I wanted to spend more time talking about verse 64 and 65 by itself. So we will see that tomorrow. So I'll end us off here today with this short session. And I'll close us in prayer. And for us to really go back and continue reading through verses 62 and 63 and contemplate about what is it really trying to say to us here. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, that may you continue to grant us understanding of how your spirit works, how you have given life to us, Lord. That as Christian, we have received this life that you have given to us. May we appreciate it, may we understand it, and may we hold firm to it. Lord, that we thank you for this session for today. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.